Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Society Talks. I'm Joe Lorenzo, and I'm here with the fabulous Dana Cooper Evans. Hi, Dana.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming down and talking with me today. So let's start from the beginning. Everybody out there, she's a fabulous dancer, choreographer, singer, actor, whatever. Multifaceted. But where did you start? Did you start as a young kid? And where'd you grow up, first of all?
Okay, I grew up, I was born in New York, in Manhattan. I grew up in Jersey, okay. East Orange, New Jersey. And I grew up starting in dance. I started dancing at Dance Theater of Harlem, New York first, and then I was at Alvin Ailey.
How old were you?
I've been dancing since I was 3.
Wow.
So I was in the baby little.
that little sidestep, that kind of thing.
Yes,
yeah.
Just tendus for 5 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Tendus and pliés for the first 5 years. Yeah, so I started when I was 3 years old. My mom actually was a dancer and she danced for a lot of people, which she didn't tell me until I was like a teenager because I think she didn't want me to feel pushed in that direction. But one day I was like, going through all this trunk of like old stuff she had in the basement.
The costumes.
And she had costumes and all these pictures and pictures with her and Michael Jackson, like Jackson 5. And I was just like, so we were not going to tell me about this.
Right.
I'm like, this is my whole life and you weren't going to. She's like, I just didn't want you to feel pushed. I was going to tell you eventually. So it was really cool. I ended up gravitating toward dance on my own, which was awesome. I think that's kind of part of what made me pursue it as a career because I never felt pushed into it.
Good.
Or anything.
Because that can happen. A lot of times it's like the parent living vicariously through their kids. Yeah, you see that all the time. I see it so much.
Yeah.
Where did you make the leap from? Like, what was your first big thing? Like, where did you say, and how old were you where it was like, boom, you got this thing? Or did you have to go on auditions for it?
Yeah, so it was kind of quite a journey. I had always like done kind of like the technical training of dance. And then I moved to the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
And when I got to D.C., I was like getting more so into like hip hop dance because I was into like music videos and all that stuff. I had always been a technical dancer. And then I ended up in a situation where.
When you say technical, you mean you like
jazz
ballet, and
ballet. Okay. Jazz, yeah. Modern. And so when I was in DC, I ended up in a situation where a manager had reached out to me to be in a girl group. So I, at like 14 years old, end up involved in this girl group and just things kind of like took off for us. We were like touring. We did stuff with B2K, IMX.
What?
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
What was the name of it?
We were called Fortune.
Fortune.
Yes, Fortune.
Ooh, you know my ass is going to be Googling that after this.
And so it was really cool. I did that for a while, and we always would have like these backup dancers. This one choreographer, Sean Cosby, she's like my mentor. I love her to this day. I always shout out Sean Cosby. Yeah, shout out to Sean Cosby. Sean really like got me more so involved in dancing as I was in the group because we had to do choreography for the group. And then fast forward a little bit, I joined her dance crew, so I was actually doing dance with her outside of the group. And then it was time to go to college, and I didn't want to go to college. My mom was like, but you're going to go.
Right.
So around that time, I also had gotten a manager, and I was going back and forth to New York on auditions at the time, too.
From D.C.?
From D.C.
That's like a five, six hour.
It's like 4 hours.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. 3.5 if you're,
if you got a lead
foot.
You're
moving it.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm trying to, like, recall all of this, like, give you the fast version. During that time when I was auditioning, I remember I auditioned for Debbie Allen when she did her reality show Fame.
And I remember that one.
Yeah. So I was
not the original. I mean, 15. The original Fame, but I remember the reality one where it was like the competition. Yeah, exactly.
And so I was 15 and you were supposed to be 16. And I was like, you know me. I was like, I'm still going.
Yeah.
You can't hold me back.
You ain't telling
so
me.
So I go and they write in big. They were trying to tell me like, I can't go in. You're not old enough. And I was like, please just let me dance for her. Let me sing for her. You had to dance, sing and act. I was like, please just let me go be in front of her. So they were like, well, we'll let her see you, but you can't. You're not going to make it through. They wrote ineligible in big red letters all across my like.
Wow.
My application thing.
Yeah.
So I get in there and it's Debbie Allen and Felicia Rashad, like, ooh, sitting in front of me. I'm, like, dying.
Y'all,
like,
if you don't know who Debbie Allen is, huge choreographer. Now she's a big director. She directs a lot of Grey's Anatomy, all that kind of stuff. And then it's her sister, right? Yes. Felicia Rashad.
Felicia Rashad.
Who's, you know, Claire Huxtable on The Cosby Show. And I mean, she's got a huge career. Yeah.
Yes. So they're both sitting in front of me and I'm just like geeked out. Like, I'm so excited. And so it actually intrigued Miss Allen because she looks at my paper and she's like, what's all this red ink about?
Right.
And so I just was like, Miss Allen, I really needed the opportunity to be in front of you. And I just really like, I drove all this way. Like, I was like, I just want to dance for you, you know?
That's impressive for a 15-year-old to do.
Yeah. And you know, I came in, I had heels on, I had my boots. And I remember Felicia Rashad, she goes, I just want to see what you're planning to do in those heels. And I'm like, just turn the music on, girl.
Oh,
I'm like ready. And so Debbie Allen was like, you know, I think you're great and we're going to take you through this process as if you're 16 and we'll deal with the issues at the end if there's an issue. Now,
what would have been the issue?
Well, I think the issue was because of like whatever the child labor laws were and however, I guess how like grueling the process was going to be. And it was like the whole thing was in LA and it was like full days of work and I just think they weren't really trying to deal with like the minor issues and stuff.
Right.
So I actually made it onto the show and they were going to have me on the show. And there was all this back and forth with my mom because you know how they try to keep it a surprise for the contestant to be like, you made it. And then like in the final hour, it was just like legally they just wouldn't push it through. And I remember Debbie Allen personally called to tell me that I wasn't able to do it. And she wrote me, She wrote me a letter saying like, keep following your dreams, keep perfecting your craft, make sure that you're always studying and training and you know, I'll see you again someday.
And so, did you?
Yes, I have run into her since and she remembered me.
I'd be
me.
Like, Auntie Debbie, you remember me?
I know, like, and she actually on the first episode, they gave me like a really big, kind of little moment on there where they talked about the whole situation and that they wish that they could have pushed me through. So
I
was like, yeah, that was really cool. So
can you find that out there in the sort of the internet of the world?
You know what? I haven't been able to find it online, but I do have a VHS of it that I need to get cool. We're dating ourselves.
VHS.
I have a VHS of it that I need to get converted because I keep like, when I haven't even gotten to show my husband and I'm like, I always tell him about it, and I'm like, it's on the tape right here. I have it here.
Yeah.
So we have to get it converted and stuff, and then which at that point, I will put it on the internet.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll be the first one to do it.
Do that Throwback Thursday, girl.
I know.
That's kind of fun. Yeah. So now, and then from there, so now you're still in D.C.
Yeah, so I'm still in D.C. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like my first, you know, big thing, and you know, I ended up leaving my girl group because I did want to go. My mom wanted me to go to college, and I realized once I went that it was like the best thing that I ever could do. I loved my time there. I loved the people who I met.
It's an experience.
And and I was involved in all things dance there. And that was kind of where I met this like core group of friends that we used to just go on auditions. And I remember we like drove to New York to audition for Clear Talent together and like just all kind of stuff. We were always up in stuff. And that was when we first started. We used to choreograph all the hair shows in the Virginia Beach, Tidewater area. Bronner Brothers, like, for every major hair salon, like, they were, like, hiring these college kids that we were just, like, killing it because we had so much fire and passion. And I had, you know, fast forward some more. I was going to move to Atlanta after college, and I had a friend that was dancing for Chris Brown at the time that was, like, kind of an unnecessary stop. You should just come to LA. So I came to LA. I got a meeting with Block and I showed them all of my footage and all of my stuff. And they were like, you're signed as long as you move.
Yeah.
So literally like a couple weeks after college, I moved and I got signed to Block and like things just
LA though? Because I know New York has a great dance market. So why were people telling you LA over?
LA was bigger for hip hop dancing was what I was more into. I wanted to work with artists.
Ballet
and stuff.
For New York. That makes sense.
Ballet or musical and theater. Musical theater is more New York. They've actually like even with the music industry, like all of the major recording studios are like not even there anymore. Like I mean, I knew once they picked up the Grammys and like you don't even associate the Grammys with New York anymore, but the Grammys used to be Radio City every year. So it was just like everything kind of moved out of New York. I even feel like acting a lot like more of the
came this way. Yeah, so there was a period of time where there was very little, like when there was like four shows that shot in New York. Now that's different. There's something like 50 or 60 shows now.
Okay.
Because I mean, Orange is the New Black was up there for 7 years. And
true.
Like there's things like that they want to stay true to form. If it's a New York show, right, they're going to keep it in New York. But sometimes they'll cheat it and put it in Chicago, or they'll, you know, wherever they can figure it out. It's all money. It comes down to money, you know. And New York has actually tried to give some tax incentives and things like that, where LA doesn't give a shit.
Yes. So it's very, I've heard some people are like shooting in South Africa and dressing it up as LA.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So you come to LA and then what, you know, you go with Block. I mean, how long was it from when you had that meeting and then they said move here? How long did it take?
I took the meeting in January of my senior year of college. So I graduated in May, and I was here in June.
She said,
and
bye.
And I drove.
Right out.
I drove
across.
Yes. And so that the too. Cool thing about that core group of friends at Hampton University that I was with, everybody all kind of came out here. It was me and my friend Rob Rich. We drove together, and he was signed to Clear New York, so they transferred him. And we came out here, and we were like living on someone's floor at first. We got it together. We found a sublet, and like we were just on our way, just up in the dance community. But everyone that came after, like everyone in that core group are like major choreographers or dancers are really doing their thing. Quinette is like
now
dances for Beyonce now. Like, yeah, like all of us that were in that group there at school that were so connected with each other when we came out here, we all just kind of like grew wings and, you know, it's kind of amazing.
How long, and obviously it's different for everybody, I mean, but how long is it similar to sometimes in the acting community, it could take 10, 12, 15, 18 years. But there's a shelf life a little bit with touring and dancing because your body can't handle it after a certain point.
Yes.
So how, you know, so what does that window look like a lot of times?
It depends on like what other passions you have, because sometimes it's shelf life also is not just on your body. It's on like you, you know, being in it for 5, 7, 10 years and being like, I just kind of like, I've always wanted to act, or I've always
my
wanted to dance
hurt.
Too. But yeah, with me, it's like my bones definitely hurt, but they hurt. But also, you know, me still having like singing being the core of what I started out in a girl group, the music industry being the core of what I've always wanted to do, and even acting and all of those other things. It was like, well, if I stay on tour and I stay dancing, like there's only, I can't really branch out and do these other things because they also require like the same laser focus that it took for me to make it this far in dance. So I think it's different for everybody, because I do know some dancers who have been in this as long as like you will see them in Aaliyah videos, and you still might see them on a job, which if you want to do the math yourself, that's
long 20 years.
Yeah, that's a long time to be dancing. And if I mean, if you look young and you can you can rock it out and you
but I think it's more physically though, like the
physically
thing is,
it's taxing.
Yeah, it's hard, right?
It's very taxing, especially like for girls. I know for me, like my biggest injury is like in my feet from dancing in heels, especially, and that comes from like being in the hip hop world, because it's like it's unorthodox movement. With ballet, it's trained, so you train your muscles, and they're doing mostly the same thing.
Your feet too to do all
that
stuff.
You train your feet. Everything you do is a structured move that you were supposed to be doing. That like with hip hop, we're just kind of like throwing ourselves
all over.
Like we're just like, this looks cool, we're gonna go this way now. Like
you keep saying heels, and I think of is that guy Giannis. Is that his name?
Yes.
Is that the name? Is that
Giannis?
His name?
I think. Yeah.
Oh my God! You ever if you haven't seen y'all?
Him?
Where am I from? If you haven't seen him, go just it's YANIS.
Yes.
And go. Because he does stuff at Millennium and whatever, like he did America's Got Talent. It was him and two other guys in heels, and the choreography is on point.
It's unreal.
Have you ever done something like that?
Yes, I did a lot of that, and I used to, like, so my regular job in between dancing at you know, dancing for artists, I was dancing at this club called Boulevard 3.
Oh, yeah.
I was up and out here for
a
long
time. That's a big one in Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah, and so they used to have dancers, but, I mean, we would have, like, B-boys, break dancers. Like, so it was really, it was very hip-hop based. Like, you had to be able to do choreography. It was freestyle based, but it was different to any other go-go job. And I had that job consistently for, you know, like at least 7 years, but that was like dancing in heels every night, basically doing what you see Giannis doing in his videos, but just freestyling for your life. And it was, you know.
That's got to be hard.
Yeah, it's just hard on you. It's hard on the feet. And yeah. You don't have the right shoes.
I wore heels one time. I was in drag for, yes. For Halloween. And I am telling you.
Dying.
I was dying. And for like a week or two after, too. Yeah. I felt it every step I took. Well, let's talk about, because you've worked with, I'm going to name a few and we can go into, you can go into more detail, okay. But I know of Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga, Queen Latifah, Brandy, who am I missing? I mean, like, you've worked with some really amazing people.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about how all that came about. I mean, who was the first one?
So, I think the first big, well, okay, my first job out here for a major artist was actually okay. Let me go back. My first audition when I got here was for Lady Gaga for Just Dance on So You Think You Could Dance, which was her like premiere performance as like the Lady Gaga that we know.
Yeah.
And I booked that thing, and then they were like, "We're gonna go with all boys." And I was like, but it's so funny that I feel like my career has like started.
And then it came full circle because you did Super Bowl 51 with her, right?
I did. And when she chose her dancers for Super Bowl 51, she only wanted people who had somehow contributed to her and Richard Jackson, the choreographer's journey. So it was like definitely people who have earned it and not just like, she specifically was like, I didn't want it to be someone who, you know, did good at an audition today. It was just like people who had earned this.
Because it's like the biggest story. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the biggest moment that we can kind of all get. It's the biggest stage you're going to get.
Huge.
You know? So, but then I think my second one was like Katy Perry Hot and Cold video, which you can literally see me in for like a split hair of a second.
Okay. But
so technically, like, I would say Katy Perry is like the first major artist that I worked with. But when things really started to take a turn for me, Lorianne Gibson, shout out to Lorianne.
She's
her.
On So You Think You Can Dance now,
yes,
right?
Yes. Lorianne's on So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah.
And, you know, I fought for that spot with Lorianne because I was tiny and like I wanted to do these jobs. I was getting all the Nickelodeon, Disney, like because I look very young.
Yeah, you do.
Jobs. And I was like, I want to dance for artists, but I'm like competing against these like voluptuous girls and like all of this
stuff.
Yeah,
but you're also tiny.
Yeah, and I'm tiny. And, you know, Lori, she really took a chance on me. And I think Diddy Dirty Money, when Hello, Good Morning came out, was kind of like the first big artist thing that I got.
Didn't she have a reality show too, or wasn't she?
She did.
She did something too, right?
She Lorianne did, and Gibson. I was on the pilot of that actually.
What was it called? Do you remember? Yeah. Nope. We don't remember. it was on VH1, I think.
It was a Dance Life. No, not Dance Life.
I don't know, but I thought it was good. I mean, I just don't remember what it was, but yeah.
Yeah. She's had quite like, and then she's always been a part of like Diddy's shows and stuff. So that it went from Diddy to, and then Nicki Minaj, when she was coming out with her first album, I was like one of Nicki's first dancers that she had. So that was kind of like,
those are all people that I didn't even mention those. Yeah. So Nicki Minaj, Katy Perry. Yeah.
So I would say like Lorianne kind of really gave me that push. And then when I got to tour the world, I was on tour with a new artist that was coming out. Her name was Natalia Kills, and we opened for everybody. She was like kind of like a priority artist at Interscope at the time. So I spent like a year just jumping on every single artist you can imagine for a tour opening as their opening act with her.
What was this chick's
name? Which
was
really cool. Natalia Kills.
Is she around?
Her name is now Teddy Sinclair. And she writes for a lot of people. She wrote Kiss It Better by Rihanna.
Oh, yeah.
She's written a lot of really big songs. And I think her music is a little more underground now, but she definitely has like a following.
Now, what made you say, okay, well, I'm doing all this dance. I've been doing it since I was three. Where did the acting come from? Where did this, I mean, and you said the singing is something that you always wanted to do, but.
Yeah, that's always been in me.
How are you marrying all of these things that you want to do, and how did it start that you wanted to do them all?
I mean, I think I've always been like a drama kid, even in high school. I've always been like one of the most dramatic kid in the room. And in high school, I was always involved in drama department and things like that. So I've always kind of strive to be like a triple threat in whatever I do. The difficult thing about that to me is it's like they both require an insane amount of attention.
Yeah.
So it gets to a point where I feel like you have to choose one kind of like as your forefront or what you're focusing
on your focus
at the moment. Yeah, because it's like you spread yourself too thin and it's just really difficult.
What's that say? It's a jack of all trades, master of none.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah. But acting, it's just always been in me. And it's like everyone's always been like, why are you not acting? Why are you not acting? Like, and
but
so,
you do your stuff. Yeah. I mean, you do, you know, I mean, I thought you were hysterical in the Mean Girls parody with Todrick Hall. And then you did Cindy Lou Who or something, right? Were
yeah,
you
that one Cindy Lou Lou.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, and you could tell you're having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And you could tell that it also stems from your dance background. Yes. You could tell your movement, just in your movement, you can. But the singing, talk to me about that, because I know, you know, so, that's always been in you.
Yeah, singing has always been in me. It just never left me. It's always been like actually the main thing that I wanted to pursue is to be an artist. So that is kind of like at the forefront right now.
So you would let everything else go and make the singing a priority?
Yes, because
not that you have to, but
I'll always, the way I look at it is I'll always get to dance as long as I'm singing because I'm a performer. And right.
Look at J-Lo. She's in her 50s and she's like killing the stage.
Exactly. And then I feel like because I'm a great actor, if I can become, I hate using the word famous because it's not fame that I'm looking, successful
yeah.
as an artist, I feel like those opportunities will come back around again without, you know, necessarily having to go from the ground
right.
up. They'll kind of meet me, and then at that point I'll be able to say, hey, I actually do have the talent to
fulfill
these opportunities that people are bringing toward me. You know, right. when people say, hey, you know, we're thinking about, you know, you for this film, or I could reach out to people. But now it's like they have an incentive to put me in their film because I've already earned the status that
right.
they're looking for their project, but I actually would have talent to back that up too.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the route that I foresee it going. But
and your husband's a music producer, right?
Yes. 5-time Grammy Award winning producer.
Say his name.
Songwriter. Divine Evans.
Divine Evans.
Hey, Divine.
So producer, is he a songwriter?
Songwriter, okay. Yeah, and engineer. And yeah, he's done a lot of like live engineering too. So we met, and I was like already like trying to get like more so back into music, but it was just kind of like the right thing
meet?
At the right time. We met through a friend who I danced with her for Diddy, Nikki, for everything. She's like my bookend.
Okay.
Lex Lou. She's an artist too. But she was actually his artist at the time. And she would always be like, yeah, come through the studio. I want you to write like on my project. I want you to write. And you have to meet Divine. You have to meet him. Like you guys would get along. So what? He has to meet you. He has to like hear your talent and all this stuff. But he would always be like on the road or gone. Mm. And I would come to his studio and he would never be there. And I was like, Divine doesn't exist. Okay. Like Divine's not a real person.
Right.
Lex. Like, let's just, he's not real.
It's like a sitcom. Remember those old sitcoms where there would be like somebody in a room somewhere else and you would only hear their voice and they would never,
you never get to meet them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, he's not a real person. Okay. Let's just give up this Divine act. And so eventually we met, and it was just like, you know, at first we were just trying to work together, and we just like hit it off really well. And we started doing projects together, and we were literally like together every day after that. But it was like everything outside of that we wanted to do. Like it was like, if we're gonna go on a food run, it's like, oh, I'll go with you, or oh, come with me. Like that's and
cute.
We just started doing like everything together. He just like very quickly became like my best friend.
Mm.
And so now we do everything together.
Do you so now are you doing the producing, and like are you guys doing that together too?
Yes.
Are you helping him with a lot of that stuff?
Yes. Yeah, we do. There's like not one project he does now that I'm not like involved in. And I've got you know, I've had a lot of great opportunities because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Latifah, which actually is a really amazing backstory with
yeah,
that.
You're
like
friends with her.
Yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
It's funny, we have the same name, Dana.
Dana. But you spell, she doesn't spell it the same way. You're D-A-Y-N-A-H,
yes.
And she's D-A-N-A, yeah.
But
I met her years ago, just real quick. Her years ago, and she didn't know who I was. I was nobody to her or whatever. And I will say this, you know, because celebrities do get a bad rap, and I've heard certain things about her. She was so fucking lovely.
She's the nicest person you'll ever meet. Right?
She was very engaging, and we were in a public setting where she didn't have to be, because a lot of times what happens is, very height of her career. It was after Living Single. She started doing all these movies and everything. She was doing great. And a lot of times what happens is if that celebrity starts to either take a picture or something and then like engage the public, and then it grows, and all of a sudden now she's like at a fucking meet and greet, and there's a million people around. luckily that didn't happen, but she was very generous with not only me and with other people. She was very kind and generous. So
yeah, she's super great. And one thing she's really good at, like I've noticed, like she'll try to help you, let you get your picture, but she'll try to do it in a way where it doesn't cause a scene. So that turns into a meet and greet. She'll kind of try to like guide it. Because it's like,
I didn't get a picture or anything I was just chatting with her. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she's like the most down to earth person. She's actually from the same place. She's from East Orange, New Jersey, just like me.
How the fuck did I not know that she's from East Orange, New Jersey?
She's from East Orange, New
Jersey. I'm from New Jersey.
I know.
But I'm like, how do I know? It's so weird. I should know a lot more of the people that are from. I know Meryl Streep is, Bruce Springsteen, Danny DeVito, Whitney.
Whitney, yeah.
Yeah. Prince.
Whitney's from Newark, yeah.
Prince had a house there, you know. So anyway, all right, go ahead. So Queen Latifah.
Yeah, so she's from East Orange, and her mom and my dad actually go way back. My dad used to be the former mayor of East Orange, and her mom was a school teacher in Irvington, New Jersey. And
oh my God, my grandmother lived in Irvington. That is a crazy place to live.
It's
it's not a very nice town to live in.
They go way back, and I remember as a child being around her mom, and I actually just found it. My mom just found it in my room, but I have an autographed picture from when I was a child that she wrote to me, and it says, to my namesake, Dana, like something like, keep following your dreams, like Queen Latifah. And it's so weird. I always tell her about this picture, but girl, I found it, so I'm going to bring it to you so you can see it. But
give her that for a Throwback Thursday.
I know.
But
she's just like one of the greatest people I've ever met. She's always so humble, and it's never, you know, when we're in the studio, it's like, it's sweatpants and laid back and just like,
but that's
good vibes. Like,
I have this theory of that. That's why she has had such longevity.
Absolutely.
That's why, you know, not because she's talented. She is talented. I really enjoy a lot of almost everything that she does. I can't really even think of something that's like, oh no, I didn't love that. But it's the kindness. It's the look, we're all kind of doing the same thing. We're all like got a common goal. Like, don't be an asshole to people, kind of thing.
So
you
we're
know,
all human. You know?
Yeah, and so that's probably. And I don't know her worth Adam, but it's that's probably why she has longevity.
Absolutely,
because there's a lot of really talented people that are assholes that they're singing their shoulda woulda couldas down on the street corner. Because
you know what? You can't fake likability.
Right.
You're either likable or you're not.
Yeah.
And if you're, it's gonna come through eventually. It's gonna shine through. You just can't fake likability. And she is a likable person, like through and through. It's just who she is. So it's been a blessing to work with her. And I've done a lot. I've gotten to do a lot of other projects with Divine. We worked on the New Edition movie.
The movie.
Yeah, we worked on the music for
that. Was that BET or Lifetime?
BET.
Okay.
And we actually got an Image Award that. So that's like my
NAACP
first award.
Image
Awards? Yeah, that's
nice.
Like my that's like my one accolade that I'm really excited
about. Hello, that's a good one.
Yeah. So
and that was recent.
Yeah, that was not too long ago. I worked on some vocal production with Algie Smith, who played Ralph Tresvant. That was, you know, my role more so in it. For some of the songs I worked with him, he came through and, you know, we just did vocals and stuff together. And then my husband worked on music with Basic Black Entertainment, Adam Blackstone, and all of them who worked on the film too. So it was just, it was a really amazing experience to be a part of that. And we just have like so many continuing, you know, growing experiences that we get to be a part of. We just did a documentary. Oh my God, I'm like, why my mind's drawing a blank.
It happens all the time. I'm like, what the hell was I thinking about?
But we worked on a documentary that was on TV One that is about like, wealth in the Black community and expanding financial literacy in the Black community. And it talks all about like Black Wall Street and what happened there. And, you know, we worked on with our team, like scoring the whole film, and we did original music and original theme song for it. So, you know, we're getting opportunities like that where we, the best ones are like where things like that, where we really get to be ourselves.
Yeah.
There's room to be yourself. And then, you know, that alone, making original songs and new things and getting sync placements and stuff like that are things that give you an opportunity to have a moment as an artist where it's like you're just not. I'm at a place where I just don't constantly want to work behind other artists. I love to work with them.
You want to do your own thing?
Yeah, I just kind
you have
of want
a voice
to like do
as
my
well.
Own thing. Yeah, and I've devoted a lot of my career to being behind someone else's success.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for it.
The wind beneath their wings kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for it, but I'm like ready for the next step. I have a lot to say. I have a lot to share with the world. And, you know, hopefully this will give me the platform to kind of be a really positive person. Because it's not, for me, it's not like a, just about fame. It's about right. inspiring people. And
I think
change.
If you chase fame, honestly, I've been in the industry almost 20 years. I think if you chase fame, it's a empty end goal kind
yeah,
of thing.
Absolutely.
Like you could get there. But where do you go from there? Because if there's no sustenance within you to get there, like, I mean, anybody, not anybody, but people can become famous overnight. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, go make a fucking sex tape and then all of a sudden with somebody famous or what.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that.
Not
but
that we haven't
I
seen
should
that
not,
be successful.
I know. I shouldn't say that. But I'm just saying, like, you know, if there's not the sustenance within you to then, once you're there, what is it that you're putting? What kind of content are you putting out? Why are
yeah.
people going to continue to want to be, you know, interested in your fame or interested in you, et cetera? So I think that that's, I think it's very smart to say, because I don't think it's a great end goal. I think it's
not.
I want to work. I want to be known for this. I want to be, you know, I want to continue to be able to put out music and to act and do this or whatever. Fine. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, look at like Meryl Streep, you know, she's had a very long career and yeah, she had, her success was kind of fast and straight off the block with like, you know, her winning an Oscar and all that kind of stuff. But she's had a 45 year career now,
yeah.
consistently working. And if she put a baseball cap and glasses on, she could walk down the street.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a difference there. And I think it's great to say that.
Yeah.
And differentiate between the two. Now, because now you
yeah.
have your young Divine's daughter.
Yes.
Right?
Skylar.
And how old is she, Skylar?
She is turning 12.
Wow.
In November. Oh,
so
my baby.
Now, yeah. So, and you know, all the pictures are really cute on Instagram. Wait, what is your Instagram, by the way?
I am Dana, D A Y N A H.
I am Dana. It's D A Y N A H, right?
Yes.
So, and I see all the pictures. They're really, really cute. But, what, like, if she, let's say somebody her age was to come to you and say, how do I break into the music industry? How do I become a professional dancer and working with some of the people that you've worked with? What do you say to them?
I think my first answer is train.
Okay.
That's the first thing. You have to train. You, and never stop training. That's the other thing that people like kind of mess up on. Like you should never want to be the person in the room who knows the most.
Right.
If you are the person in the room who is the biggest expert, like, you need to get in another room.
Yeah, go find another room.
Yeah, go find another room, because you can't grow there.
Mm-hmm.
So I especially to these young babies and to their parents, like, make them train
mm-hmm.
before you just throw them out into it, especially because auditioning is more rejection than it is acceptance. It's
yeah.
more no's. It's 1,000 no's and 5 amazing yeses.
Yeah.
But you have to think about a child facing all of those no's.
Well,
and
let me
how many more no's are they going to get if they haven't trained?
Let me tell you something about that. It's not the child that takes it that hard. It's
the parent
that takes it hard.
What do you mean my child isn't good enough?
Well, because you tell them that no, they didn't get it, and in 5 minutes they go back to playing on their phone, or they go back to watching Paw Patrol or whatever the fuck they're
yeah.
watching. You know what I mean? It's not about them. It's the parents that can't let it go.
For sure.
That's the problem. So train. What
yeah.
about, like, what's an optimal age for a dancer? What would you say, like, you know, is it that kind of 16-year-olds where you can really kind of get music videos or like, and you can go on a tour or whatever it is? What's an optimal age that you would say would really pop for a dancer? Look, it happened. Look,
yeah.
that's no guarantee. It'll happen different for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, but what's an optimal age, you think?
I mean, in my experience, nobody really... artists don't want to get involved with anyone that's under 18 usually.
Okay.
So I've only known a very small handful of dancers under 18 to be going on. It's a whole nother, usually, like, the music industry is very much so, for the most part, an adult industry.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things to be exposed to there as well, where they're usually not going to take the liability of having someone,
a kid. Mm-hmm.
So, but that does not mean you can't break in. That does not mean there's not commercial
work.
And there's
Allison
not TV
Stoner.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the girl that from she was famous on Missy Elliott's video.
But I think
video.
It was more so like Allison was in the Missy videos, but Allison, I don't believe, went on a Missy tour. And I could be wrong, but I don't think she went on the tour.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, you know, she started working as an actor. She was in Cheaper by the Dozen. She did all, you know, absolutely. She did a bunch of stuff. So maybe she didn't. Yeah, I don't know.
But it's very difficult. And then if you bring a child on tour, then you got to bring the parent. Yep. And then if you bring the parent, you have to bring the teacher. Like, there's so much that goes into that. But there are there are great TV opportunities and commercial opportunities, and it is just the best time to really like hone your craft and get better so that when it does finally like open up for you, you're ready to accept the jobs and it's not that waiting period.
Yeah, if you've been dancing since you were 3 years old and you know you can get a tour when you're 18, think about the 15-year experience that you bring to that tour.
Absolutely. And the putting your 3-year old in dance, the whole point of that is dance teaches discipline. So don't throw I don't think you should throw your 3-year old in a hip hop class. I think you should throw your 3-year old in ballet and something that's structured where they have to do the same thing over and over again and follow instructions, because that's where you begin to learn professionalism. And you can only go as far as your professionalism will take you, because I promise you, no one wants to deal with the drama and unprofessionalism. Like, you can't be late. You can't be not listening. You can't have an ego. There's no room for that. And there's a million other people they could go get besides you. So it's really nothing to replace you. There's like another girl waiting in the wing. That was like the first thing anyone ever gave me like real talk about dance. It's like, there's always a girl in the wing waiting to take your spot.
Yep.
She's already ready. They've already in the pile or like, here's the backup.
Well, I hate to use this analogy, but it's like, do you remember Showgirls?
Yes.
Where she was like, she threw the thing down, whatever, because they were like, there's 100 other girls right now that are right behind you that want your spot, and they're going to do anything for it.
Yeah.
That's a little bit dramatic. I mean, nobody's throwing people down the stairs or whatever, but it is the point. I mean, even in my world in casting, I'm like, look, sometimes maybe we're auditioning 40 people. Maybe we're auditioning 400 people.
Right.
Hannah Montana, I think they auditioned 2,400 people. Wow. So, you know, you're not just competing with the few that you may see in the waiting room or whatever. There's a shit ton of people that you're competing with, and you have to be the best version of you.
Yes.
Yeah. So what are some like last minute parting words, last minute little pieces of advice that you can kind of give to parents and kids wanting to get into this industry?
Parents, and as now a parent, I kind of have this like viewpoint is a little bit differently. Like, just never lose touch with how your children are feeling and make sure that you check in on that. It's a very, you're throwing them into an adult world knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
And everything affects them later. So just like, just be careful how you're doing it. Make sure you're checking in. Make sure that it's not too much pressure. Make sure you're listening when they say they don't.
Because they will be honest with you. Kids will be honest with you.
Like, make sure you're listening when they say they don't want to do it. Or if they're uncomfortable about how something happened. Or like, just make sure you're listening to them through it all. And like, it's, you want it to become, especially if they start very young, you have no way of knowing if this is their dream.
Right.
So you need to follow them closely enough to know that this is turning into like, this is their dream and not your dream. Because it's very damaging to grow up as an adult later, you know, when you've basically been forced to live somebody else's dream. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't push them and be hard on them and hold them accountable and
teach
them.
Well, if you commit to do something, then make sure that, as a parent, make sure that they're following through.
Yes, absolutely.
But don't force them.
Don't force them, and just make sure you're listening and staying in touch. But have them train and don't be the parent that when they don't get something, you blame it on like all the other, the casting people and the teacher don't be that
parent. I see
that
all the time.
Like, no, they didn't get this because they just weren't ready for it. You don't have to say it in a mean way, but you weren't ready for it. It wasn't your time, or they were looking for something else. But like, don't always make it where it's like someone else's fault, because you have to teach them accountability now. Otherwise, it makes it impossible for them to accept rejection in the future.
Yeah.
They'll always be in denial about it because you're setting forth the example they process that for the rest of their lives.
Putting them into a bubble that's not reality, because when they go out on the real world on their own, they're going to get that no matter what industry.
Yeah.
There is rejection. There are no's. There are, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Like, you have to just be realistic with them. them again, they shake it off. They don't care.
They'll be okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Kids are really resilient.
Yes.
It's the parents that have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, amazing.
And then for kids or young aspiring actors or whatever age you are, like, again, keep honing your craft. Always keep perfecting your craft. Always keep learning, but mm-hmm. learn professionalism as soon as you can. Don't be late. Don't be unpleasant. Don't be unlikable. And don't, you know, don't get involved in the drama. Don't gossip. Don't, like, you know, mind your, stay focused.
Yeah.
Be focused. And also know that there's a lot of things that you're going to have to give up that other people get the opportunity to do so that you can have the opportunity to do the things that some people will never have the opportunity to
yeah.
do. And understand
sacrifice.
That now. Yeah, understand the sacrifice, because mm-hmm. you're sacrificing now so that you can get to do things later that the people who aren't willing to sacrifice now, they'll never get to do those things that you're soon going to be able to do.
Yeah.
So stay focused on that and remember that. If you're older, if you're over 21, if that means you're not going out every night, if that means you're not drinking all the time, if that means...
You're better off not doing all that, you
yeah,
know?
Because... avoid the hangover and get to that audition in time. Like, come on. You don't think
avoid
they can see?
Avoid the hangover.
You can't. You don't think they can't see your hangover in your audition?
Can I tell you how many times I've had people come into the office and I'm like, I can fucking smell the vodka coming out of you. Well, vodka doesn't smell, yeah. but something. I can smell something coming out of you. You
yeah.
know, I know last night, you probably didn't even sleep last night. And it's sometimes it's young kids, like not kids, but like
yeah.
young adults that are still playing younger or whatever. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's like, look, if you want to do something, focus on it and don't let all those other outside influences get in your way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you'll look back on it and then be like, look at how much stuff I miss, like going to this, getting drunk at this person's party that I'm not even friends with anymore.
Right. Like, didn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Didn't even matter.
Yeah.
You're probably not even friends with those people anymore or that person or whatever. It's like life, it's so much
life
different.
Life is short.
Yeah, it's short. Yeah. And it's just when you, hindsight is like 20/20.
We've used a lot of metaphors
oh
in this.
Oh my God.
Wait, one last thing I want to say is like, what it was, you know, like, classes and trainings and things like that, they cost a lot of money. They
yes.
do. I mean, and over time, it does add up. Are there things that if someone can't afford to put their child in, and granted, once a week a dance class is not that expensive. However, there's some people that really just can't afford mm-hmm. any extra things than putting, you know, keeping the roof over their heads and putting food on the table. Is there something that... I don't want to say like DIY, but I mean, is there something that some kids can be doing at home to try to learn dance or help their singing career? Or I know that they like Christina Aguilera and a couple other people that have these like master things online
yeah,
now.
Masterclass.
Yeah, that they
but
can
even
do.
But even masterclass is a little expensive. But
oh, you pay for that.
Yeah, so
oh, okay.
the masterclass online you do pay for, but they're really amazing. And
well,
I was
I think
like,
I
so
saw
funny,
just a
Simone
clip of
Biles
hers.
Did one, and I was like, do you know how many kids are gonna go home and break their necks?
Seriously. What?
Like, how do you follow an
I'm sorry,
online
I'm
masterclass
sorry,
from
gymnastics
Simone
is not
Biles?
Gymnastics is not a fucking DIY thing.
I'm gonna watch it to be inspired, but I'm not gonna.
But I'm not trying that flip.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Yeah, seriously. But what is something that they could do?
I mean, I do think like YouTube is
yeah,
amazing and endless,
resource.
Especially like it is a little harder for dancers. But at the same time, like the reason that I'm the biggest Janet Jackson fan of all times and I can go to her concert and do all of her choreography is not because I've ever danced for her. It's because I spent my entire childhood
watching
Janet Jackson and being like, I'm going to learn these dance moves. So you can learn whatever you want to learn
mm-hmm.
at home and you can get better at it. And then at that point, there'll be a point where you can go to class and you can use it and you'll still build on that, but you'll have like a foundation with, as far as singing, there are countless numbers of vocal training, think daily vocal exercises that you should just be doing every day that are just like, they just walk you through it. And it's the same thing that you would get from any basic vocal teacher.
Teach me one right now. A singing thing.
Oh, girl.
Oh, no, never mind. All right. Listen.
You know what? So one is to help
really
with breathing. No,
yeah.
So I'm not going to make you sing. It'll be a breathing thing.
Okay.
So to help with breathing and expanding your breath, first of all, we know we have to breathe from our diaphragm.
Right.
So we breathe from deep, not from our chest. So you should never see like your chest go up because that's cutting everything off right here. So you have nowhere to sing from if you're breathing from there because it's a shallow space to push from.
Yeah.
But So basically, you take the deepest breath that you can take, and you get your phone, and you time this, and you let out a slow, like a little air balloon, until you can't
that
anymore.
That made me have to go to the bathroom. No, I'm just kidding.
So you're literally like squeezing your stomach, and then you just constantly try to outdo your time, and that will make your breath control a million times better. But you got to do it every day.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Well, I think that's the best place that we can end this is where you have got to do whatever it is that you want to do, you've got to do it every day.
Every day. You have to be doing something every day. And
like if a kid wants to be good at soccer, he's in the backyard kicking around that ball.
Yep.
Should be the same and no different for singing, acting, dancing.
Dancing,
right?
Absolutely. Study the great, study who you love. Even sometimes studying, like if you're acting, watch your favorite actors. Look at their choices. Yeah. Like there's sometimes where Leonardo DiCaprio is one of my favorite. Him and Tom Hanks are like my two.
Oh, I love Tom Hanks.
Like,
I love both of them, but yeah.
And when I watch them, I'm just like, what made you make that choice?
Yep.
There's a scene in the movie Django that I later learned. The scene at the dinner table where he slams his fist down when he gets really upset, Leo, and like his hand is bleeding and then he like wipes Kerry Washington's face with it. Like, he accidentally cut his hand, and that was, like, where that scene went. Like, none of that was supposed to happen.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, this isn't... It was so intense that I was watching.
Chills.
Yeah, it was, but it was so intense when I was watching it that I was like, you couldn't have written that.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, find those moments, those choices that other people make that to where, like, when you're doing what you're doing,
inspire it becomes,
so it becomes instinctual. It's something in you that you can be so confident that you're like, this choice I'm getting ready to make is something that no one else could have come in this room and do. And that's what's going to get you the job.
Yeah.
Is the thing that no one else in that room can do.
There is only one you, and you have to bring that into every audition and every performance, no matter what it is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
Absolutely.
Well, Dana, thank you for coming and
You're
chatting
welcome.
With me today.
Thank
and
you for
tell me
me
your Instagram again. It's I am
Dana.
DAYNAH,
yeah.
Right?
Because
you post a lot on there, so that would be a good place for everybody to go follow Dana. Dana Cooper Evans, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. And you can follow me at Joe_Lorenzo on Twitter and Instagram.